reading to you from the 18th chapter of the book of Luke, and with the 21st verse. And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." And when Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven, and come follow me." But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, friends, I've been doing it ever since. Oh, I struggle. I'm not the best preacher in the world, but I tell you one thing. I'm one preacher who knows Jesus. I sure do. I met him 51 years ago on my broken knees, and I cried out for God's mercy. And you know what? He sobered me up, gave me back my wife and family, and I've had a lot of wonderful things happen since then. My wife and I have traveled all halfway around the world, Japan, Hawaii, Alaska, Mexico, telling this story. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour or not. I just wish you'd kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and pour you a glass of iced tea or maybe a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 18th chapter of Luke, and let's begin reading with the 9th verse. And he also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, "God, I thank thee that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, idolaters, or even like this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get." But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted." Well, of course, you know this is the story of the Pharisee and the publican. A well-known parable with many, many lessons. I tell you, friends, when you're witnessing to somebody, this would be a good story to tell because it has a tremendous ending. You see, heaven will sure be full of surprises. People who we thought were so spiritual and carried their Bible and went to church and prayed won't be there. But some of the old town drunks and some of the old prostitutes will be there. What's the difference? Because the old town drunk and the prostitutes gave their heart to Jesus. Listen, friends, I got a call one night on my broadcast from a lady. And she said, "Cecil, you don't know me, but I think I can talk to you like I'd talk to anybody, but I can't talk to my preacher about my problem." I said, "Well, what is it?" "Well," she said, "I'm a prostitute, converted." And she said, "One night, I went to my room with a guy, and he was sitting on a chair taking off his shoes. And he said to her, 'Ma'am, are you a Christian?' And she said, 'Blankety blank, no, are you?' He said, 'Yes, as a matter of fact, I am, but I'm a very poor Christian.' Now, I'm not going to go through with this. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you what you was going to charge, then I'm going to get out of here. But let me tell you, ma'am, if I were you, I'd asked Jesus to forgive my sins and come into my heart. Did you know what? She said, I did just that, Cecil. I got out of my, and I asked the Lord to forgive my sins, and you know what? Now, she said, you know what I'm trying to do? I said, no, I don't. She said, well, I'm trying to go down in Skid Row and all these pimps working with these little girls, and they're teenagers, many of them, absolutely teenagers. And she said, I'm trying to win them. They're on dope. She said, these girls come to town, 13 or 14, and these cab drivers see them walking the streets. They pick them up and say, where you going, girl? Well, I run away from home. Well, would you like a job? Well, yeah. So he takes them up and said, I'll feed you and put you up in my apartment. And he gets them right off on the bat on marijuana and other drugs. And then he prostitutes some pimps for them. Well, she said, you know, that's all I want to do is go back and tell these young girls about Jesus. And she said, but I can't tell my pastor. I said, well, I wish you could, because he should know this. Well, she said, he probably would throw me out of the church. Well, maybe he would. I don't know. I don't know his heart. But I know I wouldn't have thrown her out of a church if I was a pastor. Well, see, God looks beyond our faces and our pocketbooks. He looks on the most powerful part of us, our heart. I know good works cannot save, but a lot of people, truly honest, educated people, believe that they can be good enough to get into heaven without Jesus. It can't happen, beloved. It won't happen. You said, but Cecil, I'm a member of a Roman Catholic church, or I'm a member of a First Baptist church, or a Presbyterian. I don't care how many churches you are a member of. I don't care how many times you've been baptized and how many different ways. You cannot get into heaven if you have not been born again. That's what he told Nicodemus. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot get into the kingdom of God. Did you know the Bible tells us in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sinners can be justified. How do you get justification? Through the blood of the Lamb. That's the only way. That's the only way that you'll be justified before God. Who went to the temple and why? Well, the Pharisees was one of the strictest sect of the day. Experts on the law. Oh, how many people in Riverside, California, I locked horns with. They were law keepers. And they told me, you're a dummy. You've got to keep the law. And I said, keeping the law won't get you into heaven. No, it won't. And these law keepers really believe if they keep the Sabbath on Saturday, they're going to go to heaven. But that's not it. If they're not born again, they're not going to get in. See, this Pharisee was expected to be there. And he came to the temple with the wrong motivations. What was that? He wanted to impress God. And don't try it, dear friends. It don't work. Well, now the publican was a stinker. He was a tax collector and hated by the Jews. He was hated by everyone. Why? Because he cheated people. May have he just that day, he might have seized a widow's home and felt real guilty. Trouble at home may have caused him to come to pray. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you one thing for sure. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. See, the Pharisee's criterion was for measuring himself, not as other men are. It divides the world into two groups, himself and others. Let me tell you this. He prays a prayer of 35 words. Now look at this. And five of them were I. What is the middle letter in sin? I. His reason for feeling righteous, because he was not like other men. Well, he began to get more specific. Not as an extortioner, that's a bad person. Not unjust, not an adulterer. He fasted regularly and gave tithes, and his standards all relative, even as this publican. And did you know what? That Pharisee's criticism of the publican, by there are two wrong ways to lift ourselves, by numbering our good points, by numbering the faults of others. Some can also only stay up by pushing others down. Criticism others because we don't dare face our sins. Now the Pharisee put the publican down, but did you know what? God lifted him up. Oh, listen to this. The publicans cry for mercy, verse 13. But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Whew. Did you know what, friends? I've had people tell me in prison, oh, Cecil, I prayed that prayer 100 times. Well, beloved, let me tell you what. If you pray that sinner's prayer with a repentant heart, a truly repentant heart, you will be born again. And you don't need to pray it ever again. Ever, ever, ever pray that prayer again. Now, wait a minute now. You say, wait a minute. Well, what if I did a sin? Well, then you confess the sin to him. And he will be faithful and just to forgive us your sin. But you don't have to cry out for God to save you, because he only saves you once. Oh, that's controversial in many churches. Some of my dear friends, I love them to death, they're Pentecostals, but they don't believe that God's eternal security is in the Bible. Well, it is. It certainly is. God's mercy is evident in the death of Christ for our sins. Evidences of humility and repentance. Look at this little guy stood a great way off. He was so under conviction by the Holy Spirit that he smote upon his breast. Well, the Pharisee singles himself as the only righteous one. The publican singles himself as the only sinner. Oh, friends, can't you just picture this? Shut your eyes for a minute. Here's two guys in this temple praying. And this one turkey got up and he went to work on telling God what a great dude he was. My, this guy was all right. But then he got to thinking, well, but look at that thing standing over there. Why, I'm so much superior to him. You see, friends, God is not a respecter of persons. Aren't you glad? And you know what? You may be a multimillionaire tonight. And you may have holdings everywhere. You may have a portfolio enough to choke a cow and be as lost as a goose in the grass. You can't. Oh, dear friends, you can't buy your way in. No, you can't. I have led many rich people to Christ. The first thing they told me after they were saved, you know, that money didn't get it. It didn't get what I was looking for. What did he say? Come unto me, all ye who labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, or I'll give you peace. See, without Christ, you have no peace. Absolutely, you can't. No, you can. You can't manufacture peace. Oh, I've seen people in church jumping up and down, throwing their hands up and down and doing this and that, and then they go out there and get drunk, or they go out and sleep with someone else's wife. See, that's not real conversion. Oh, no, that's not real conversion. The publican singles himself out as the only sinner. But listen, one advertises his merit and the other agonizes for mercy. You know what Spurgeon once said, the great preacher? The publican was the best theologian, for he prayed like David of old. See, David did a terrible thing. We all know the story of David. What a horrible sin he committed. And you know what? He got away with it for a while. But soon the Holy Spirit began to tug at old David's heart and said, David, you did a terrible thing. you did a terrible thing. Not only did you commit adultery, but you went out and had her husband put in the front line and got him killed to cover your sin. But David, it didn't cover your sin. And David cried out and restored me, Lord, the joy of my salvation. And he did. Well, no, David wasn't exactly the what he used to be, but he was forgiven. Now, friends, you may have committed some terrible sins since you've been a Christian. Now, God doesn't want us to be have sin rule over our lives. The Holy Spirit will help you. He will encourage you. Now, if everybody prayed every time they made a decision for the Lord to lead them, we wouldn't be in trouble. Not one of us. But we don't do that. We want to do it our way. Remember that song that old Sinatra sang? But I did it my way. Yeah, he sure did. He even paid a priest $300,000 to get his mama into heaven out of purgatory. Didn't happen. That's another fake thing that just tears my heart. Why those crooked, dishonest priests really believe that they can do what Jesus did. All they have to do is come to Jesus, repent of their sins, and be born again. And they don't have to worry about getting into heaven. But these priests say you got to buy. I led a man to Christ who was dying of cancer. He was my daughter's father-in-law, one of the nicest men you ever met. He was very religious. And I went to his home one night because I knew he was dying. And here's what I asked him. I said, sir, do you know where you're going? He knew he was dying. There was no problem there. I said, do you know where you're going when you die? And he said, no, I don't know. And he was scared to death. And I said, well, I know that you're a Catholic, and I know, you know, I'm a Protestant. But I said, the thing is, if you'd like to trust Christ tonight, you can, if you're willing to repent. And he said, I am. Well, when his wife heard that, she run in there scared to death. She said, Daddy, is that what you want? He said, I do. Because then she knew that would be going against the Catholic religion. But we bowed our heads there, and that dear old man prayed and invited Christ into his heart and was born again. Well, I want you to know, I was at his funeral, and I never saw such a pagan funeral in my life. And they told him that his baptismal certificate was going to get him into the heaven. Well, it didn't happen that way. Friends, listen, you can be religious and be lost, and you can be lost and get religious. But see, religion is nothing but man-made. Salvation is God-made. If you truly know that you're not a Christian, you're not born again, and you really want to be, and you might even be confused about it. Well, listen, if you're confused, here's my phone number, 303-471-8534. If you're confused, you call me collect if you want to. I'll take the Bible with you, and I'll show you that you can know that you have been born again, that your sins are under the blood. The Bible said this is written that you may know that you've passed from death unto life, and I can lead you in a sinner's prayer, and you can find peace with God. Now, don't be afraid. Don't tell people I didn't know. Because if you don't know, you call me. Again, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but I do know Jesus. And I knew him when I fell upon my knees and as a drunkard and cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He came into my heart and my life, gave me peace and changed me immediately. I went home and begged and pleaded for my wife to give me one more chance. She said, no. I pleaded and I begged and I pleaded. I cried, I groveled. And the Holy Spirit of God kept tugging at my wife's heart, saying, Cecil, this is one, Gene, this is one time Cecil's telling the truth. He is a new creature because I saved him. And that night she gave me one more chance. Oh, to God be the praise and the glory. Oh, I thank him. You know, practically every time I go by a bar, I say, oh, God, thank you so much for delivering me from the curse of alcohol. Maybe that's not your problem. Maybe you don't have an alcoholic problem. Maybe you have a moral problem. Maybe you're a homosexual. Maybe you're a lesbian. You say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Oh, isn't there? Read the Bible. Read the Romans and find out. I'm telling you, my friend, that's what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. There was homosexuality. And they wouldn't repent. And so God destroyed that great city. And I'm telling you right now, he's going to destroy our country too if we don't get standing up against this homosexuality stuff. They prayed up and down the street. I'm not mad at them. I'll stop and pray with a homosexual as quick as I will anybody. But I'm telling you, they're calling God a liar when they say that's their lifestyle. That's what God made them. God didn't make them that way. Well, listen, friend. The publican went home justified, but the Pharisee just went home. One went home changed. The other went home just the same. How will you go home, dear friends? And again, I cry out to you tonight, if you don't know Jesus and you'd like to know him, you'd like to have your sins put under the blood, I'm going to lead you in a sinner's prayer. And dear friends, I don't want you to pray this prayer if you don't mean it. Oh, you can get yourself in trouble. But if you really, really are sorry for your sins and you want to trust Jesus, here's what you're going to have to do. And this is a prayer I want you to pray if you feel led of the Lord. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm so sorry for all the mistakes I've made and for being against you and doing the things I do. But Lord, tonight, I really mean it. I'm sorry. Lord, I'm opening my heart and inviting you in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. If you can't afford this call, you call me, collect, I'll pay for it. I want you to go to heaven. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moen. I want to thank you for listening tonight. Be sure and pray for our service the end of the month at the prison and also at the Denver Rescue Mission. Oh, I love to go down there and preach to those men and women. I tell them the love of God and tell them they don't have to be alcoholics or winos anymore. And he stand with outstretched arm for them too. Well, friends, be sure and pray for me and my wife's health and pray that God will continue to open doors for us. Oh, you know I love to talk about Jesus. Well, friends, until it's time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors, stay sweet, keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.